My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about this decentralized revolution that the world is going through. Of course, we are talking about Bitcoin that is leading this decentralized revolution, cryptocurrencies, and we do it through looking through the lens of politics, technology, and finance. It's where those three converge is where all the change, on the edges, as we say. And so each and every week, I am bringing to you the latest breaking news to keep you informed. I'm bringing you some education so you can really understand exactly what's going on. And of course, I try to bring to you some of the best and brightest guests in the space so you don't just have to hear me all the time. And right now, we are going to dig into some big topics because there is a lot going on in the macro financial space, and then specifically inside the cryptocurrency space. Stuff is blowing up left and right. It's what we might call a cryptocurrency bloodbath. And I know that sounds bad, but that's basically what we're looking at, a bloodbath. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, one, it's people are dying. Not literally. Well, unfortunately, some literally. Most, and we'll talk about that in a second, but it's a sea of red, right? When you look at the charts, it's all red. As a matter of fact, the S&P 500 this week was one day was completely red. That means every single position in the S&P 500 was down. That's bad news. But inside the cryptocurrency space, it's been bad. I talked about a couple weeks ago talking about this Terra Luna, U.S. stablecoin Terra Luna backed. It's algorithmically pegged to try to stay at a dollar, which didn't work. And it was backed by their own token called Terra. I went deep into that. If you missed that, I'm not going to go through all that again, because people didn't miss it and they don't want to hear it again. However, if you did, don't worry, I got your back. You can check it out on the podcast network. Just search Mark Moss Podcast on the iHeartRadio network, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, you can find it. Just search Mark Moss Podcast. Now, if you did miss it, then don't miss it again. If you're not driving, pull your phone out right now. Put a calendar reminder to be with me on this channel, on this time, right now, each and every week, so you don't miss it. But as I warned a couple of weeks ago with that Terra Luna crash, I warned there would be more problems. I warned that these Wall Street traders would be coming for more of these pegged. I said that all pegs are meant to be broken. I had a conference. I hold my own conferences called Market Disruptors Live, marketdisruptorslive.com if you want to check it out. We just had one in May in Dallas, Texas. And at the event, I was stopped by somebody there attending, and they asked me, what's your take on the Terra Luna stablecoin? Because you could take it, you could stake it on this thing called Anchor Protocol and earn about 20%, 19.6. And I told him that all pegs are meant to be broken. Not necessarily meant to be. They didn't design them to meant to be, but the traders are going to target them and try to break them and get really wealthy off of that. Well, maybe not always wealthy, but increase their stack, if you will. However, George Soros became famously wealthy by breaking the peg, breaking the Bank of England in a single day, making $1 billion. And so that's what they do. They play that. They're going to target it. They're going to try to break it. They're going to try and make money. We've seen this, you know, in the 80s through these corporate raiders. There's a movie Wall Street made about it. They made a remake of that or an extension of that movie called Money Never Sleeps. It's a great movie. Kind of covers what happened in the 2008 Great Financial Crash. If you haven't watched it, you should. And we saw it in GameStop. And, you know, now here it is targeting. There's Terra Luna. And it's a shame. You know, I'm going to explain what's going on. We're going to look at the contagion that's happened. But, you know, in regards to this, it's a shame. You know, you have these wealthy hedge fund guys, you know, maybe billionaires, and they're hoping to make an extra $500 million when they already got billions. And, you know, whatever, good for them. However, they're ruining the lives of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And when I say it's actually a bloodbath, like people died in that Terra Luna thing, I heard over a dozen people had taken their life, which is a real shame. I was in Austin, Texas last weekend for one of the biggest cryptocurrency conferences in the world called Consensus. And I was at one of their official after parties, and somebody stopped me and they said, hey, you know, I'm a big fan, and I'm here at this conference. I had booked this ticket a while ago. I put the highest level ticket I could get so I could get the networking. And I was really hoping to launch this new business inside this, you know, cryptocurrency space. And, you know, he was about 50 years old. And if you're listening, I'm not going to call you out by name, but, you know, I'm talking about you. But anyway, he said, you know, I've had this marketing business for a long time, and I did really, really good for myself. And I just sold it. And, you know, I have a good amount of money. I think it was enough money to retire off of. He didn't give me the exact amount. He kind of hinted to it. It was enough to retire off of. And he put it all into stablecoin. So real quick, for those that are not up to speed, a stablecoin basically means I give you a dollar, you give me a token back that's redeemable for a dollar. And they call it stable because it doesn't have the volatility that Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies would have. Instead, it's always worth $1. And so it's pegged to that. So he's like, hey, you know, stablecoins, it's stable. I don't have to worry about it. And he took his eye off the ball. He didn't measure the risk that was involved. And we're going to talk about the risk here in a minute. He didn't look at the risk. He took his eye off the ball. He saw that the peg was breaking, but then what happened is, you know, a lot of these people are like, no, don't sell, don't sell, don't sell. It's going to come back. This happened before, you know, it loses the peg, but then it comes back. If you lose now, you're gonna take the losses, right? That's what they say. You only lose if you sell. Hold. Within 3 days, it was gone. He lost everything. Decades he worked building up this company. He put it all in. He let it all ride, and he lost it all. And now here he is, in 50 years old, and basically has to start all over. And I really sympathize with that. You've heard my story. When I was 30 years old, I had to start all over. Now 30 and 50 is a little bit different, but you know, I sympathize for him. He can make it back. I know he can. I did. I know he can as well. He still has those skills. However, the point that I had to learn the hard way, the point that he just had to learn the hard way, and the point I'm hoping you don't have to learn the hard way is never go all in. Ever. Don't do it. It's not worth it. The reward of being right is not worth the risk of being wrong. And I said, hey, once they started taking these out, they're going to start going after all these other pegs. So all these leveraged positions, like the GameStop I referenced, right? It was a short squeeze. All these people had leveraged shorts against GameStop. And so they tried to push it back up and squeeze that short, because they were using leverage, keyword being leverage here. And so you need to be very, very careful about these leverage positions, including taking your Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies and leveraging against them using debt. That's what leverage is, using debt. I like to say that leverage is sort of like fire. Leverage is like fire. It can warm your house or it can burn your house down. And that means it can work both ways. If you use it properly, it can be a very useful tool. However, if you don't use it properly, it can wipe you out. It can be disastrous. And so you got to be very careful with that. Now, if all you're doing is holding Bitcoin only, and you're not putting it on these exchanges like Terra Luna or into something like Celsius, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. That's the next one blowing up. And now there's two or three more dominoes about to fall next because of what happened in Celsius. We're going to talk about that. But if you just hold your Bitcoin and you just hold it in your possession, in your custody, then you don't really have a lot to worry about. Yeah, sure, it's volatile. But over the long period of time, it's always continued to go up. The lowest point of Bitcoin every single year has always been higher. So that's been pretty good. You know, when you look at where is it from the top, it shows a different story. But if you look at it from the bottom, that it's been higher every single year, then it looks pretty good. Now, if you have a, you know, 3-year time frame at least, then you're looking pretty good. If you're looking at Bitcoin on a monthly basis or weekly basis, it could tell you a different story, which is why you should never look at any of your investments that in that short time, unless you're a day trader, which you shouldn't be because they don't make a lot of money. Now, I'm going to talk about three more bombs that are sitting in the crypto space that you need to be aware of. And even if you're not involved in them, it could be disastrous for you. So I'll be right back with more.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about the decentralized revolution that the world is going through. That's why it's so crazy. It's why the world seems like it's breaking up, because it literally is. For the last 250 years, the world's been working towards centralization, and now that's breaking apart, and we're going to decentralization. Of course, it's being led, I don't know about being led, but it's being helped along by decentralized technology, which, of course, we're talking about Bitcoin. Thinking about this cryptocurrency space, and specifically we're talking about these blow-ups that are happening, this bloodbath that's been happening. And so we talked about Terra Luna. I'm not going to go back through that again. And now the next domino, as I warned a few weeks ago, is starting to collapse, and that is Celsius. Now, Celsius is, they halted withdrawals, and that's not a good sign. Now, if you have money with Celsius, this is what I know so far. Basically, they halted withdrawals. The reason why is because, again, back to the Terra Luna, these Wall Street raiders are targeting these funds that have leverage, and they're trying to take them out in order to enrich themselves a little bit. All right, and we knew that Celsius could be liquidated if Bitcoin got below, I think it was like 23,000. And so guess what they're going to do? They're going to try to push Bitcoin down by shorting it below 23,000 to liquidate Celsius. And Celsius was trying to prevent that from happening. And so what they did, supposedly, is they locked all customer withdrawals, because what happened is as soon as customers started hearing about this, they wanted to get their money off as fast as possible. But the more money that was pulled off of Celsius, a bank run, that's what it's called, then the less collateral they had to try to bring this hedged position down. So they locked customer withdrawals, and then they started adding more collateral. And they brought their liquidation point from 23,000 down to 18,000, down to 15,000. And I think it sits somewhere in the 12 to 13,000 range right now, which is pretty good. If you have money locked up on Celsius, you're not alone. There's lots of people that do. And all hope isn't gone. Now, I'm going to be real with you. It doesn't look super good, but there's a chance. So they brought in some restructuring specialists who are trying to help them restructure this, you know, think bankruptcy. And there's talk of a potential takeover, maybe a buyout. A big fund would buy them out. Maybe if they can unwind this, they can prevent the liquidation event, first of all, and then maybe they get some investment, a buyout, and then some restructuring. Maybe there's a chance you get some of your money back. I don't know what that percentage will be. We'll have to see, but there's a chance. However, I wouldn't hold your breath. So maybe just consider it a write-off, and if you get anything back, maybe consider yourself lucky. But that's where the situation is right now. But what went wrong? I think that's what we want to learn that. The old saying is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. My father always told me over and over, once is an accident, twice is stupid, which means, hey, we all make mistakes, but don't let it happen again or you're stupid. And so basically, what the heck happened here? What can we learn? So even if you had money in or didn't, you still need to learn from this. This is a learning experience. They say, I never lose, because I either win or I learn. So let's learn from this. Even if you didn't lose, let's learn something from this. So what do we see? Celsius calls itself a network or a lender, but in reality, it wasn't. It was like a highly leveraged hedge fund. Now, they said that supposedly with Celsius, and there's BlockFi, and there's Nexo, and there's Crypto.com, and there's other ones. Supposedly, you give them money, and they give you yield back. I give you my Bitcoin or my cryptocurrency. You pay me 4% or 5% interest on it. Sounds pretty good. And then they were supposedly able to pay me that because they would loan that Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies out, and they would only loan it to people that were over-collateralized, 150% collateralized. That way, if they failed to pay back, then they could liquidate their capital, and I would get my money back. That's the story that I've been told. Now, that's apparently not how it was working, and so let's see exactly what happened. Now, first of all, if you're giving your money to somebody, first of all, that introduces something called counterparty risk. Anytime you give something to someone else, there's a chance you don't get it back, period. And it's up to you. Please do me a favor. Never give an asset, your money, a stock or Bitcoin or cryptocurrency to somebody without knowing if they'll be able to pay you back, what that risk is. You need to quantify what that risk is of not getting that back. That's step number one, which is why, I'm sorry, I'm ready for the hate mail, but that's why DeFi is a scam. DeFi standing for decentralized finance, which is what this was doing. All right. You should never loan your money to somebody you don't know. And I would never expect somebody, I wouldn't even want someone I don't know to lend me money. If I'm going to buy a car or a house, I want the bank to determine my credit worthiness and give me a different rate than you may get based off of how good my credit is. And if I'm going to loan money to someone else, I'm going to do the same thing. It should be done by a centralized entity, not a decentralized entity where you have to over-collateralize the loan. All that's good for is degen gamblers, which is exactly what this was. So that's first number thing. But so basically, they're trying to somehow get me, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8% interest in a world with no yield. So the bonds pay zero pretty much. How are they able to pay 6, 7, 8%? Well, they do that by going way out on the risk curve. The more they're able to pay you, the more risk they must be taking on. Now, you know, the old saying, if it's too good to be true sort of a thing, it's not necessarily the case, but if they're able to pay that, how the heck are they getting it? Are they going way out on that risk curve? So if they're doing that, do they have a good risk management plan? And have they conveyed that to you? When I was in Bitcoin Miami, I met with one of the top people at Celsius. I think it was the number two person. And I explained this to him. And I said, look, I could never give you my Bitcoin or cryptocurrency for yield because I don't know what the risk tolerance is with you. And I think that if you guys were much more transparent about it and you would explain to people what you were doing and show some transparency, then I could then, you would give me your risk management plan. I could quantify that. And then I can decide intelligently if I want to give you money or not and what my risk profile is so I know how much of my portfolio I would want to give to you. So far, they didn't take me up on that. But that's what I told them. And what we can see is that they were making very risky bets. And so we saw that in last December, they admitted losses related to $120 million Badger DAO hack. Now, you may be asking, what the heck is a Badger DAO hack? And I would say, exactly. I know what it is. It's a DAO that someone tried to create. They called it Badger DAO. A DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization, which is a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And it's Badger DAO. It was brand new. It was super tiny, super risky. What the heck were they doing investing into those types of projects with other people's, with users' funds, especially without disclosing that type of risk? Now, the converse would also be true. If you've loaned money to Celsius, wouldn't you want to be paying attention to what the heck they're doing with the money? You should be. And so you should have seen that and gone, shoot, they're doing some really risky things. I wonder if I can trust that. And then last month with this Terra fiasco, Celsius pulled off at least $500 million out of this Terra Luna, the Anchor protocol, right before it crashed. So was that good risk management or were they just lucky? Either way, what that tells me and you is that, shoot, they're taking a lot of risk and we barely got out with skin of our teeth. And so we should have seen that. All right, so this is what's going on. Now, I'm going to finish explaining what's going on with Celsius so we can learn from this. And then I'm going to tell you about the other two or three big bombs that are about to crash. And whether you have money in these or not, it's affecting you. This is why cryptocurrencies are crashing. And I want to warn you before it's too late, like I tried to warn you before these things went down. And like I said, it's a good learning moment. So I'll be back with that and more in a minute. By the way, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And right now, we're having a teaching moment, a learning moment. Hopefully, you can learn from this, and I'm going to warn you on what's coming up next. So don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started. Where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about the decentralized revolution each and every week. Talking about Bitcoin, talking about cryptocurrencies, and looking at it through the lens, the macro lens of what's going on in the world. Now, we've been talking about what's going on in the crypto space right now that's dragging Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the other cryptocurrencies down, and it's like a domino effect right now. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about this Terra Luna thing, and I warned you that the next domino would drop, and here we are at it right now, and there's more coming. So I was just, before the break, talking about Celsius specifically. They locked withdrawals this week. There's a chance you might get some of your money out, but I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't be holding your breath. But we'll see. Let's remain hopeful if you got money in there. But we're trying to learn from this. And what we could see is that Celsius was doing some very, very risky things. And if you had money there, you should have known about that. And if you didn't know about that, you weren't paying attention. And so, hey, look, don't get down on yourself. Don't let it happen again. All right. So let's keep going down this road. Basically, we saw they were doing these risky things. They barely got out of the Terra Luna by the skin of their teeth. But now they've also been in putting their money into something, or their money. They've been putting their customer funds into something called staked ETH, or it's known as STETH. And it's another synthetic coin that's supposed to be pegged to the original ETH, which means, you know, more risk. And it's also very illiquid, which means their money is locked up and they can't get their money out of it. Now, apparently Celsius holds another $500 million worth of this. And it's especially concerning because Ethereum is supposed to have this merge going on, and it just keeps getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And so depending on what happened with that, we could see this continuing, this peg continue to break, potentially becoming unpegged, like we saw with Terra Luna, which means Celsius could lose another $500 million. Celsius also had their own token called the Cell token, which also crashed. We saw it go from, basically just become worthless overnight. And so once these things start going, they start going really fast. Everything works until it doesn't. That's what I always say. It works until it doesn't, and that's basically what we're looking at. All right, so what comes next? So Celsius had massive exposure to Luna. Who else had a massive exposure to Luna, and who has exposure to Celsius? Like I said, right off the bat, Celsius is causing the whole market to draw down because they're liquidating as much as they can, trying to post more collateral. And this is what happens in a liquidation event, no different than the stock market. When the stock market crashes, it continues to crash even faster because people are trying to cover their margins and then leverage on their stocks. This is why stocks fall really fast. And then you'll also see, you know, when the stock market crashes, like say 2008, the stock market crashed, the S&P 500 dropped about 60%, and gold dropped 25%. Now, why would gold drop? Shouldn't gold be going up during that time? And the reason why is because of a liquidity event. When they start crashing, everybody's selling anything they can to get money to cover that leveraged position, which is exactly what happened back in the stock market, and that's exactly what's happening now. So it brings the whole thing down. So whether you only hold Bitcoin and it's in your cold storage, or whether you're playing with all these things, we're all being affected by this, which I'm not super happy on. Now, somebody might just say, well, shoot, shouldn't we pass some laws that prohibit this from happening? Shouldn't we pass a law that says, these Wall Street raiders aren't allowed to short the heck out of these things? Shouldn't we pass a law that prevents, you know, whatever? And my answer is no. My answer is no. Now, I'm affected just like a lot of other people, but I would still say no. And the reason why is I believe in free markets. And if somebody wants to post a risky trade, then somebody has to take the other side of it. That's how a trade works. A trade doesn't happen unless there's two willing people involved. Otherwise, there's no trade. And so in a free market, both people believe they're getting the better end of the deal. Otherwise, there would be no deal. And so somebody's willing to take that risk for the potential reward, and this person's willing to pay a potential reward for that person taking the risk. Now, other people get involved and they start betting on those two players, and then they're taking risk and everybody's taking risk. And in a free market, that's just what happens. It's up to everybody to be educated on their own. The bigger problem, though, is we're in an environment that allows this to happen in the first place, not because it's allowed legally or from a regulatory standpoint, because of the fake fiat monetary system that just pumped $8 trillion into the ecosystem over the last 24 months. And basically, in something called the Cantillon effect, go ahead and Google that if you want. And it says that the people that are closest to the money supply have the first advantage because they get the money first for the cheapest price, and then they start pushing it up as it goes down. So the hedge funds, the banks, they get the money first for basically free. You and I, we don't get any money, and we certainly don't get it for free if we do get it. And so they're getting billions of dollars for basically free, and then they're using that to manipulate markets, like, for example, buying up all the single-family homes in the United States. Now, they're paying 30% over asking price. You and I can't do that because we have to pay, well, now interest rates are 6%, but they got the money for free. So they can afford to pay more for the house because they're not paying for the money. And they're also using that money to take out these crypto positions and so forth. And so the problem is that we need to take away the money printer that prints all this money, that gives it to them, to then weaponize it against us. We don't need to pass laws to prohibit people doing stuff with their money. We need to pass a law, or not even pass a law, but just take away the ability to print this money and give it to everybody. All right. So what's the next bomb that's about to drop? Well, let's see. What do we got? We have the STH. That's a big problem. Like I said, this is this new synthetic pegged version to Ethereum, and it's something that we can learn about illiquidity, right? Obviously, you know, it involves Celsius. Like I said, they have about $500 million in there, and a lot of it is in this STH. All right. Now, Celsius is, like I said, caught with this because it's illiquid, and they've been paying down this debt, which has been helping. It's pretty good. But a lot of it is caught in that. And when that blows up, who else is holding that? And that's something that we have to figure out. And it looks like that next player, that next one to drop, could be something called 3AC, if you've ever heard of that. Stands for Three Arrows Capital. Now, Three Arrows Capital wasn't really a crypto firm, as far as I know. I believe they were more of like an FX trading, which is like a foreign currency reserve trader. And they've been trading in that, and they figured, hey, we'll take our chances in the crypto market as well. And they have, and apparently done really well. Now, Warren Buffett famously said, I believe it was Warren Buffett, says that a rising tide rises all boats. But when the tide goes out, we see who's been swimming naked. And so that's exactly what's going on here. Rising tide rising all boats. Now, since we've been in this long bull market with trillions of dollars sloshing around, everything's going up. Everybody looks like a genius. And Three Arrows Capital has done really, really, really well. The problem is with all these leveraged positions that allow them to grow really fast, when it works against you, the leverage also tears you down really fast. And that is part of the problem that we have. Now, Three Arrows Capital looks like they're going down. Now, it hasn't been a formal announcement, but per the chatter I see on the street, they have basically been ghosting everybody. They're not putting out any releases. Traders that they work with are reporting their credit lines being shut down, their funds being taken, and this is monumental. If they collapse, this will be monumental because they borrow from every single major lender. So the other ones I already mentioned, BlockFi, Nexo, Celsius, Genesis, et cetera. So as I said, right, I was supposed to give my money to BlockFi, Nexo, Celsius, and they were supposed to loan it back out again to traders who were over-collateralized, traders like Three Arrows Capital. And so they've been borrowing from all these people. So if they're going down, if they're illiquid, then who has exposure? I want to tell you who has exposure. I want to tell you the dollar amounts, and you will be blown away. And then I'm going to come back, show you some perspective to maybe make this not look so bad. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the cryptocurrency market crash. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, of course, Bitcoin, and more. I'm going to talk about the bombs that are about to drop. So don't go away. I'll be right back.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We are talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the cryptocurrency bloodbath that's been a domino effect, as I talked, warned you about a couple of weeks ago, starting with Terra Luna, and now the contagion, we call that. The contagion is spreading, and we see it spreading into another one called Celsius, who has now suspended all withdrawals. I said there's some hope. There's hope. There's maybe some money coming back. We don't know. Don't hold your breath, but potentially. But now it's spreading, and I was talking about Three Arrows Capital. Now, Three Arrows Capital was borrowing money from a lot of people. Now, we don't know exactly. So some of this is speculation. I'm not trying to spread any FUD, but there's some things we do know for sure and some that we don't. So, for example, the last public number for Three Arrows Capital's assets was about $20 billion. Okay, so we do know that. Now, we don't know what their real NAV, net assets value. We don't know what that is. Rumors are that they might have been losing some, but we know the last time it was about $18 billion. So we know that. We know they were borrowing from most of these major lenders. We don't know exactly who. We don't know exact amounts, but the major lenders are Celsius, who we're talking about, Nexo, BlockFi, and Genesis, which is backs a lot of these as well. All right, so that's some of it. Now, if we look at this $18 billion, it's a big number. It's a real big number. And if they go down, then it continues to spread. So now, again, not trying to spread FUD on these companies. FUD means fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But if they've loaned money to Three Arrows Capital and they show that on their balance sheet, like, oh, we have, you know, $5 billion on our balance sheet, then their balance sheet looks strong, which allows them to back their leverage positions. They have collateral to back their positions. But if Three Arrows Capital goes down, that potentially, let's call it hypothetically, $5 billion is gone. And now all of a sudden, without that $5 billion, they don't have the backing to back the leverage that they have in the system. That's how this works. All right, so these lenders aren't prepared for this. And then the next one goes down, which then drags the next one down. Now, $20 billion, it's also rumored that a lot of Wall Street hedge funds also have money in this as well, which I wouldn't doubt. So then it starts spreading to Wall Street. Now, Wall Street at least has, you know, the Fed that has their back. The Fed is the lender of last resort. They're there to make sure banks are backstopped, meaning don't go bankrupt, which we saw, you know, in 2008, the too big to fail. But crypto has none of that. Crypto has none of that. It's going to go down and no one's going to come to save it. Now, it's part of the financial markets that we're going through. Like I said, we're shifting from this long-term bull market of prices going up, and now we're potentially shifting into a long-term secular bear market, meaning we could see prices going down for a long time. That's the way I'm leaning right now. I'm not trying to make a long-term prediction, but that's the way I'm leaning. But at the same time as we're seeing the financial markets rotate, we're also seeing the birth of a new technology and a new industry. There is an article that came out this week on MarketWatch. It says, why is crypto crashing? Mark Cuban says that crypto is going through the lull that the internet went through. So Mark Cuban, Shark Tank, owner of the Mavericks, outspoken investor, etc. Of course, he got rich in the early days of the internet. He started an internet company, sold it off for whatever, a couple billion dollars. And so he knows about these market cycles. And he says it's like the lull in the internet. So think 2000. So from 1995, the first public company went public, and then it brought all the money in. And then the VCs pumped it up through IPOs from 95, 96, 97, 99. By the year 2000, anything with a .com on its name was going for lots of money, like Mark Cuban made. Amazon pumped from $5 to $80. It was insane. But then the crash, the .com crash, 2000. Amazon dropped from five to 80 and all the way back down to five. But it came back. That's the lull that he's talking about. It came back. And he thinks that cryptocurrency is in the same downtrend that internet and tech companies saw in the early 2000s. He said that crypto is going through the lull that the internet went through. And he compares it, which I think is a good bet. But I think if you look at that, you'll realize that in 2000, when that internet lull that he calls it happened, most of the dot-com companies never made it past that. As a matter of fact, most of the big internet companies today, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they didn't come around until the mid to late 2000s. And so if you were trying to pick the winners in the new internet age in 1999, 2000, they weren't around. Amazon made it, sure, but most of them didn't. AOL, Netscape, et cetera. They didn't make it. It was not until the late 2000s that we got the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the Twitters, et cetera. Okay? But I think he's right. But are you in the Netscapes? Are you in the Amazon? That is the question. Now, again, it's not just the internet age that was like that. As a matter of fact, anytime we have a new technology, it's the same thing. We can go back to 1817 in the city of Mannheim, Germany. There was a local inventor by the name of Carl von Dreis, and he unveiled a brand new futuristic invention that no one had ever seen before. He just developed it. It was called a Laufmaschine, or a running machine in German. And I'm sorry if you speak German, I probably butchered that really bad. But it was basically what he invented was the world's first bicycle. There were no pedals, there was no seats, there was no chain to connect the wheels. The rider had to propel it with his feet and then balance on it with momentum, sort of like a scooter, right? It was super crude, as you could imagine, but it worked. But the reaction was instantly divisive, right? Some people thought it was significant. Oh my gosh, look how nice this is. Now we can glide around, right? But then several governments, including the United Kingdom, the US, and even Germany, banned its use for posing too much risk to pedestrians. Sound familiar? Nevertheless, the development of the bicycle persisted over the next several decades, and public interest grew. By the 1880s, cycling had become incredibly popular. Even the Queen of England owned a bicycle, making it fashionable among Britain's elite. So you see, anytime there's a new technology, it goes through these cycles, and people want to poo-poo it and shut it down. But you can't stop a good idea whose time has come. Now, the rapidly growing popularity of bicycles prompted inventors and engineers across Europe to work feverishly on new designs, safer designs, innovations. There was so much brain power devoted to cycling that by 1896, a full 15% of British patents were issued for bicycle designs. The industry exploded. Bicycle factories, tire factories, repair shops, sales everywhere. You get the point? Sort of like the internet boom, sort of like the crypto boom. Bicycle mania was in full swing, so naturally it didn't take long for the bankers. Now, once the bankers got involved, then it went bonkers. 70 bicycle-related companies went public on stock exchanges in the United Kingdom. In 1896, the number swelled to 363, and just in the first 6 months of 1897, another 238 were listed, sort of like the dot-com boom, sort of like the crypto boom. Now, most of these companies were nothing. They're hollow. There was no management. There was no hope of them ever making a profit. They just went to the market and said, I'm a cryptocurrency company. No, they said, I'm a bicycle business, for real. That's what they said. And their prices soared, just like in the dot-com boom, if they put dot-com on there. The bikes were so popular, rose so quickly, that the Financial Times devoted a section of its daily newspaper to the industry, a cycling magazine. And it kept growing, growing, growing. By 1900, roughly half of the bicycle companies that had gone public were no longer in business. Why? The index fell 70% from its peak. Well, why? Because there was no market. It got too exuberant. Now, did the bicycle die? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, mountain bikes and road bikes now routinely sell for over $10,000. Biking's huge. Mountain biking, it's all huge, but it got too feverish, just like the dot-com boom, just like the cryptocurrency boom. This is the way new technologies work. Automobiles were no different. The same thing happened. And that's where we're at with cryptocurrencies today, sort of like the lull the internet went through, sort of like the lull the cars went through, sort of like the lull that bicycles went through. But it doesn't mean it's over. However, most of them won't make it. Bitcoin will. Bitcoin will. Buy it, put it in your cold storage, forget about it for 3 to 5 years, forget about everything else, get rid of that stress in your life, and you're going to be okay. Because the future is decentralized. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and more. That's what I got for you. Hopefully you enjoyed that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.